If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Okay, what does the day hold for you today?
Let's see. I have a client. I'm also a health coach nowadays. So I have a client. This is the day after Thanksgiving. So I have a client, a swim, and just probably, I don't even know. I haven't, you were the most important thing. I'm taking it one day to one moment at a time.
That's what I like. That's what I like to hear. Do you know what? I was laughing and I thought, were you one of those kids in the school classroom where the teacher went, Miss Paul, will you just sit down and stop? Because you're just a bundle of energy, aren't you? I mean, I don't know how you fit it all in a day.
I'm one of those kids who was like, ooh, call on me. I was the front row, always talking much. Even now, I was taking a continuing education course in health coaching. And I was the one who talked the most in the entire class. Just
why does that not surprise me? Why am I not surprised?
What are you doing today? How many people are, well, let's see. It's the end of your day, right?
It's the end of the day, but we're struggling with COVID, obviously, like you guys. So my daughter is isolating from school because some of the children had COVID. So the whole country, not just us, but the whole it's a mess. You know, it's a total mess. I don't know. Is it the same in LA or is it just us on our little island?
Well, no, LA has a lot of cases and we've just shut down again for 3 weeks where we have a curfew from, which is our first time. We've never had a curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. And then of course it's because of Thanksgiving holiday was yesterday where traditionally more people travel than ever. And a lot of people did travel. They asked us not to. So my husband and I stayed home, but, because I actually am a rule follower. He said, you're a rule follower. Because I actually canceled something because the governor had asked us to not travel. And so I even had rented the car already because we drive electric cars. So when I go far, I have to go rent a car. So I'd rented the car. And then I said, I don't know. I don't think I should. I mean, just why am I exceptional? So, so I'm trying. I really, I believe in wearing masks and
yeah, good for you. Absolutely. I agree with you. I agree. But has it put your life on hold? I mean, okay, you've got a client, I guess, by Zoom for your health coaching, but I guess the acting, the swimming, the triathlons, the everything else, which we'll talk about, I bet a lot of it's put on hold, is it?
My acting has definitely been put on hold. So I had two movies, one in April and one March and one in April, and they were both canceled. One of them won't happen, but the other one is supposed to happen in January now. I don't know if it will. So we'll see. But otherwise, they closed the trails and the ocean even. You weren't allowed to swim in the ocean for a while, but now we are. And so, yeah, I haven't competed in anything for several years. So, but for those who do, my husband is a triathlon coach. His career, you know, there are no races. Yeah, but we feel very lucky because my husband and I are very much in love. We've been together 25 years.
Lovely is that? I actually love my wife. She's next door telling me to hurry up because she can't get on the internet. But we're very much in love. That's how nice is that? 19 years we are.
Oh, congratulations. Well, it just gets better. It's just gotten better. And with COVID, we just really love being together. Nice. And we're very lucky. We're here with our cats. And we're very fortunate though. Yeah.
Where did your drive, do you think, come from? Was it, I mean, I know you've got a twin sister. Was it any kind of sibling rivalry? Was it your parents? I read you'd grown up in France. And where does it come from? Or is it just something you're born with?
Do you think I have a lot of drive?
I do. I can't believe it. You tire me out just reading about you.
Oh, well, I'm old. But I feel young. You know what? I guess, I do believe that having an identical twin sister made me twice the person that I would have been if I had been born a singleton. Because I wanted to be like her. And she was very athletic. And so that drove me to be athletic, no doubt. And both my siblings, my brother and my sister, are activists. And so that also put that into my sphere. So I would say definitely that my family is a big reason why I have a very full, well-rounded life.
I must admit, at the moment, I seem to be literally either interviewing or talking to vegans. I don't know whether it's just I've stumbled across a particular kind of and now here I was watching the sport. I'm sports background based, sports presenter by trade. I was watching the cricket, which isn't a very American sport, but the cricket this morning, and they started talking about there's a bowler for Australia called Adam Zampa, who's a really big vegan. But do you know what? The biggest sportsman, I didn't realize, the biggest sportsman in the world, never mind Tom Brady and all these guys, a guy called Virat Kohli, who's the Indian cricket captain, is a vegan. And I was thinking, you know, if you wanted to, I bet there's, the American veganism here. I mean, Virat Kohli to me would be an ideal person to talk to or contact, because he literally, I'm telling you, he's the biggest sportsman in the world. It's as simple as that. And when I heard he was a vegan, I thought, wow, that's got to be influential.
You know, I have a podcast called Switch for Good, Switch and the Digit for Good. And we interview athletes and doctors and nutritionists and chefs about the plant-based lifestyle. So he's going to be on my list for
20. Get him. I'm telling you now, get him.
Virat Kohli?
Virat Kohli. Google. Once we finish, Google him. He's I think he's got something like about 85 million followers on Twitter and something. He's the biggest sportsman in the world. And also, can I ask you, because once again, speaking to sportsmen, how important, and do you think sports people are turning vegan to one, extend their career or help their career? And how does it, in your view?
So veganism used to be, which, by the way, for your audience, veganism means not eating animals or exploiting animals in any way. So we don't just not eat meat, which vegetarians, that's a vegetarian, but we don't consume or purchase or use any product from an animal. So no wool, no silk, no honey, things that people traditionally would say, oh, well, that doesn't hurt an animal. But it actually does, in our view, hurt an animal. It just doesn't kill them. So we are it's about the suffering. So that is an ethical vegan. And then there's also the environmental vegan, the one who understands the link between eating meat and climate change, because it's so inefficient, not only to, you're getting a little, sorry, I gotta go right into this. Because not only do cows, their digestive system, they emit through farting actually and burping a lot of methane. It's also a highly inefficient way to get food. And so we're using way too much land and burning way too much forest to grow food for animals when we could just grow that food to go directly to humans. It'd be much more efficient. So that's the environmental vegan. Then there's the health vegan who has turned vegan and gone off dairy and meat because they, have read that it's healthier, which it is. And dairy is not tolerated by 65% of the world population. So especially people of color. So that is the health vegan. And then there's the performance vegan. And that is an aspect that is just being discussed, and mostly because of the Netflix film Game Changers, where it showed a lot of athletes actually recovering faster and extending their careers because of the aforementioned health benefits of veganism.
No, I mean, there's footballers now, but dear to our hearts over here, who would, especially at the end, that's sort of 30-ish, not coming to the end of their career, but looking to prolong their career, which has gone for that vegan style, which they swear the benefits are incredible.
One of the reasons that the benefits are so great is because inflammatory foods like dairy and meat can really affect your recovery. And for an athlete, being able to recover after a hard workout or a hard game is really important. So that's a big reason. And once again, dairy is, what was interesting, what I've learned after 110 episodes of my podcast, what really surprised me is that most people become vegetarian first and then they go vegan. But actually, dairy, which is, if you're a vegetarian, you can consume a ton of dairy. Dairy is, the doctors that we've interviewed, every single one of them but one said that quit dairy first if you're interested in veganism as a health or recovery tool. So there you go. That can really be helpful. Just taking out the dairy for an athlete, because it's mucus forming also.
Listen, I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing.
You're just a happy guy. That's what I like.
I love your passion of it. I love the passion of it. Listen, can you cook?
No, I'm a terrible cook. I mean, I can cook, but I don't cook. In fact, yesterday was Thanksgiving here in the United States, and my husband did the cooking. He just told me what to do, and I did it. And then I did the dishes, which I like because it's very satisfying doing the dishes. And I'm good at it.
I read you're actually a brilliant dishwasher without water.
Oh, yes, yes. When people come to our house, if they're a guest for staying over, it's just for the
or something. What do you do? You lick the plate?
Allow anybody to do the dishes except for I, because I'm actually an environmentalist, and here in California water waste is huge. So what I do is I have a bucket in this, well, you don't have to worry about it in England, but I know you're an international show, so here, let me give you my tips.
We have plenty of water in England, especially now, let me tell you. It's not stopped raining for 2 weeks.
You don't have to worry about saving water, but here in the United States, we're in California especially, where it has only rained once in the last 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but I have cats actually that now they will only drink from running water from the sink. So I have to turn on the tap. So I tell my husband, oh my God, this is just, I have to miss a shower or something this week because my cats waste so much water drinking from the tap. I have a bucket. I put the dishes in there, and then I take soap and a little bit of water, and I just scrub the dishes. And I'm not running the water at this point. I scrub them, and then I rinse them in the water that's already, there's a little bit of water in there, and I rinse them all. So it's dirty water that they're rinsing in, but then I give them one clean once over with clean water, and voilà. So,
you know, They'll say to me after this interview, so what did you speak to Alexandra Paul about? I said, well, we talked about dishes, obviously. Obviously dishes. Did you ever watch Jaws as a kid?
Yes.
Were you not scared when you're doing these open water swims around Key West and Fiji and all that kind of, are you not looking around and thinking there might be a sneaky fin knocking around?
Well, yes, I am actually. I am scared of monsters sometimes, which is why a lot of my training swims, when I swim the long swims, when I train for them, I train in water that I know. Like, mm-hmm. I train a lot in the water where we shot Baywatch, just because I feel like I know it, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Because
I love that. Travel. I'm all right here. There's no sharks here. We're okay. I know this bit. There will be no sharks.
So, but yes, and that's why in these swims you have your own boat specifically. Well, I suppose if you get into physical trouble yourself, like want to drown and get so tired, but mainly it's for sea creatures.
Wow.
So I did a swim, a 10-mile ocean swim from Lanai, which is an island in Hawaii, to Maui, which is another island. And it was a big shark area, but I didn't see any sharks.
Oh, gosh, dear me. So brave. So brave. Listen, what was I going to say to you there? Oh, yeah. Don't you mind getting arrested?
So I have gotten arrested for civil disobedience. You're gonna mislead your audience. I don't know if you gave me an intro, but
I didn't. I sort of expected you to sort of come on and sort of, you know, your arm up your back or something like that. Sort of like this, yes, cuffed. No, but you have been. I mean, I just admire you. You know, you must be very, very dedicated to it. Good on you.
Well, thank you. Yes, I have been arrested over 20 times for civil disobedience, for peaceful civil disobedience, for issues that in which I believe very strongly, like animal rights. Surprise, surprise. And peace, I was protested the Iraq war and was arrested twice for that and spent over 5 days in jail. And I've been arrested over 15 times at the Nevada test site where they test nuclear weapons. And I've spent time in jail for that too. So basically—
What does your mom say to that? Alexandra, stop it. I don't want you going to jail anymore. She must worry.
My mother actually has come with me to the Nevada test site, and we have gotten arrested together.
Brilliant.
So actually everybody in my family, my brother, my sister, myself, and my mom have all gotten arrested for issues we believe in, except for my dad, but he's been known to stand outside with a sign. So he's, even though he was a very conservative man, a banker, he was such a loving father, he would protest with us. But I am not afraid of getting arrested. I'm able to get arrested as a white woman. I feel like there are many ways where we can show our, we can be an activist. And because I'm a white woman and I don't, unless I'm working on a film where I wouldn't be protesting because I don't want to interfere with that work, but I generally don't have to be at work on Monday. So I can afford, I can plan and not have to go to work and get fired. Not miss work and get fired. So I'm very lucky in that way that my life has been set up. So I have the freedom to be an activist like that. There are many ways to be an activist, and I don't want to denigrate people who can't get arrested or don't choose to. There are so many, we need everybody out there doing their letter writing, their check writing, their fundraising, anything that they do is terrific for their cause.
Do you ever sometimes think to yourself, this is not working, or do you have something in you that says, I don't care, as long as I am doing my bit, that's all I can do?
That's exactly right, the latter. As long as I'm walking my talk, then I have to stay, this is very Buddhist, but detached from the outcome, and I just have to do the right thing. Otherwise, all activists would get very dispirited very quickly, because change doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen because of one protest. It's an accumulation. So I have, as my co-host of the podcast says, I have the patience of Job, which I think she must mean about that, because in real life, I'm not particularly patient. But when it comes to activism, I do understand that systemic change takes time.
I suppose we better ask a little bit about your acting and your career. Do you enjoy it as much? And are you learning as an actor as you go?
So I love acting. I love it. I've been acting since I was 18, so over 35 years now. And
Christine was scary, by the way.
Oh, Christine was one of my first films. And yeah, it was a terrific film.
Talking of, I've sat and watched every film you've ever done for the last two days. Honest, well, hang on, what was the one? What Night Watch? You see, at least they had you right, because there's a scene in Night Watch with Pierce Brosnan where you're chasing a guy through Amsterdam on a boat. So you're doing your triathlon essentially. You're running. You got on a bike. You even ended up in the water. I was like, they've finally got her. They've got her taped finally.
Nobody has seen that. And that is so clever of you. But the good thing is that in triathlon, we don't get punched, which I think I also got punched in that.
Axe, to be fair, you didn't. Well, I won't say what you did to him. Well, I can say what you did to him, but you punched him in a very delicate area for the villain, should I, before you fell in.
I was actually very proud of that scene because I did all my own stunts and the bike skidded, and that was not planned, but I still kept with it.
Brilliant.
So yeah, no, I like doing my own stunts within reason.
What how does it work? Does your agent ring you up or call you if it's not COVID? Ring you up and go, hey, Alexandra, I've got this. or what do you do? How's the process work? And how do you filter things? Do you go, no, I'm not doing that, or I really want to do that?
Usually I need to audition. For things that in which I'm interested, I need to audition. So I get offers, and then I can read the project and decide. But if it's a project that's, you know, one wants a project to which one elevates the career. So those I have to audition for, which means just, gosh, going in, or I don't audition much, actually. I would do it more. And now they're doing it more at home, like we are. Sometimes you would be the casting director and I would have to audition for you.
It seems nerve-wracking to me.
It's actually less nerve-wracking to do it record. You feel more in control when it's like this, whereas you used to be that you'd go into a room first off and there'd be maybe up to 10 people in that room and you'd have to audition for them. So so my agent, I do have an agent, and he does tell me when there's a project that comes around, whether I need to put myself on tape or go in, or if it's an offer.
How are the roles you're being offered? Are they changing? I mean, I'm not going to mention, I was hoping to get right to the end of the interview without mentioning the B word, because everybody goes, oh, you know, but do the roles change? Are they changing the style of things you've been offered?
Yes. And I think it's because of, as you get older, the roles, the lead roles are not written for women in their late 50s. So I'm being offered more diverse roles. In other words, it's not the heroine, because out of the 100 roles that I've done on television or on screen, they've mostly been sort of the lead woman or the second lead woman. And she's usually somewhat heroic, straight arrow, et cetera. Although I've played my share of prostitutes and gun runners, which I enjoy very much. But, and I didn't mean to put prostitutes in the same sentence as gun runners, because I'm actually for legalized prostitution. So go prostitutes. I didn't mean to do that. But I do enjoy playing different roles. So I think now, as I'm older, I am playing more diverse people, but the roles are smaller. The roles are much smaller. So
they must be interesting, and they must test you in, because you are that, or you have been through your career, that, as you say, that sort of, you know, the lead woman, da-da. But it must be interesting to get more sort of character parts, really.
Yes, it definitely is. And it's much less pressure to come on a set for, you know, just a few days rather than, you know, endlessly not having a break at all, which I actually prefer not having a break, because I really love that pace. But there's also a beauty in having the smaller, more character part. So last year, I did 3 movies, and I played like a mistress, and then a real estate agent, and then I played a mom. And so, and they all had very different. The mom was the lead in the movie, but the other two were small, just cogs in the wheel, and they were really. I probably took them way too seriously, was really way into it, did way a lot of background and homework, much more than, you know, the 4 scenes that I was in.
Here you go. That's you back in the class again going, I know, I can do this, miss. Let's have a test. To be fair, you're busy, aren't you? I mean, that must be in such a long career as an actor, to be continually asked, to be continually busy, must be success, I guess.
I'm so grateful to have longevity. Just like your athletes who, you know, are able to play an extra few years because of their vegan diets.
That's what it is, veganism.
Thank you. That it's the same for me, as I feel very grateful that even that you interviewed me. Out of all the actors that you could interview, you chose to interview me. So
you've got such an amazing story, because you could have been, okay, let's mention the B word. You could have been typecast as the woman in the big, not the bikini, in the red thingy. There you go. But you've diversified into so many other things, not just acting.
You know, it's funny because I've done a lot of very frivolous projects like Baywatch, which I loved, by the way. If there was any one project that you could say, what's your favorite thing you did? I was so, so happy shooting that.
Really? Is that right?
It was just wonderful. The people were wonderful. Hasselhoff, Pamela, all my co-stars were wonderful. And then for me to be able to go to the set and not have to wear high heels, but to put on a bathing suit and rescue people, that's like a dream for me as Alexandra. And then I got to be this character who was a strong woman. And actually, interestingly, when I was cast on that, I was 28 and I'd already been an actor for 10 years, but I played a lot of nice girls next door. A lot of them. And so I, you know how you kind of fall in, we do this in real life. We realize what works and we play that. So I knew that as 28, the nice, sweet girl next door wasn't going to really, that was not stretching myself. So when they cast me on the series, they, because I had a lot of experience, they said, tell us about who you want her to be. And I told them I wanted her to be stronger and, powerful and athletic, capable, you know, all the lifeguards on that show are that, but I wanted her to lead with that. And they said, yes, the producers were incredibly accommodating. I was so lucky to have such, just to work for with such wonderful people. So that role really helped me mature as an actor and also as a person, because when you play that kind of role daily for so long, then you bring out that side of you more. Whereas in real life, I was in the first 10 years of my career, I had a little voice and the sound people used to say, Alexandra, speak up. And I think that was really, it's like a lot of women in England and the United States where we don't want to be too much because it's not considered feminine or acceptable. And Stephanie on Baywatch taught me to be stronger as a person and as an actor.
Isn't it special? I mean, I've worked with various people. Isn't it special sometimes in your life when you work with people, one you like, two you respect, you don't want it to end, do you? Because you just, everybody's comfortable. And in that environment, I always think people shine a little bit more because they feel so relaxed.
Yeah, I agree that being relaxed and feeling safe is so important, especially as an actor. I used to go to these acting classes where these teachers would just abuse the students. And I would think, I don't think they didn't abuse me because I think they saw that I would just probably crumble and weep. But I did see it and I was always shocked. So when I went to this acting class where I felt really safe, I realized that's where I feel like I can be creative and make mistakes instead of trying to please the teacher. So I agree completely that a safe environment is just really key for creativity. And it's so wonderful to go to a set and really want to be there because acting is wonderful, creative, fulfilling, but it's also hard work. I mean, it's at least a 12-hour day. On Baywatch, we were really lucky because we were outside so much that we really were dependent upon the light. So often we would come in at 5 or 6 a.m. and then we would have to leave at 5 or 6 a.m. depending upon, you know, if it was a closer to the December or if it was, so 12 to 14 hours. So we never worked more than 14 hours, but I've been on a lot of sets. I worked on a 21-hour day once because sometimes you have to do that. But with Baywatch, we were completely, basically nature dictated our hours.
Please tell me you partied a lot though. Please tell me. I'm going to be so disappointed if Baywatch, the Baywatch cast all go home and drink a cup of tea or something. You know, I'll be gutted. I want parties. I want, come on, right, where are we going?
We never partied. I never.
Oh, come on.
Myself, and because we had to get up early the next day,
oh,
and
Alexandra,
you had to look good in a bathing suit too. So I'm so sorry. No, I would get up at 3:30 or 4 a.m. and I would work out. Hasselhoff also worked out really early. So by 6 or 6:30, I will have, when our call times were, I would have already worked out. And then we would shoot until 6 p.m. or 7. Then I'd go home, see my boyfriend and my cats, and then go over my lines for the next day. I usually, what I would do is learn my lines on the weekend and then just tune them up on the night before because I didn't want to have to be pressured.
It must have changed your life, though. You know, when you used to go down for, obviously not dairy, a carton of milk, something vegan from the shop, you know, where they went, oh, hi, Alexandra. Yeah, I mean, were people whistling at you and autographs, and did you have to put the, you know, glasses on and all? It must have transformed your life.
So
it was a world hit.
It was the most watched show in the world. But Rob, in the United States, Baywatch was actually looked down upon when we were shooting it. It was not a cool show at all to be on. So yes, I did. After working with people like Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd and Jeff Bridges and Pierce Brosnan. Oh no, yes, I'd worked with Pierce already. So I'd worked a lot, but what changed was people would recognize me before, but they would come up to me and they would say, how do I know you? Are you an actress? What have you been in? And then I would have to go through my entire resume to find out, you know, what I've been in. And then they go, oh yeah, okay. Oh my gosh. The greatest thing about Baywatch is after I started doing that, I just say, I'm on Baywatch. And they go, oh yes. Even if they'd never seen it, they just figured that's how they knew me. So that's been a real plus these last 25 years. But yeah, it changed a lot in terms of recognition, and I did become. I didn't like going places like malls or airports alone because I wasn't mobbed, but I was approached, and then there was a lot of whispering and looking. So you feel very transparent. And so nowadays, it's been a while. So I feel much more comfortable, but I also don't have that scrutiny. So even though people recognize me, it's like, you know, there's not so much whispering.
Maybe you don't have the scrutiny, but have you got the bathing suit?
I don't have the bathing suit.
What? Come on!
They wouldn't let me take it. I know some of the actors took the bathing suit, but I have the yellow watch that my character wore pretty much every season. And that's it from my, I actually have a couple dresses that I wore, even though we didn't wear dresses a lot. I did, I think I have three dresses from the show.
Well, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. What is coming up for you? Work-wise, you said there's a film coming up. Anything else? Podcasts? We can get involved. What's your podcast called so people can listen to you?
So hopefully in January, I'm shooting a film called Tethered, which was the one that was supposed to shoot in April, but we'll see because who knows with COVID. Please listen to my podcast if you are at all interested in being ethically vegan, healthily vegan, environmentally vegan, or performance vegan. It's called Switch for Good. It's Switch and then the digit for good. It's all one word. And my co-host is Olympian Dotsie Bausch, who won a silver at your London Games. Yeah.
Wow.
Cycling. So I'm doing that and I continue to work. I'm sure that 2021 will bring, I do actually have to show up in court in February for an arrest for trying to rescue a pig from a slaughterhouse. So I'll be, we'll see if I end up being convicted of something or if they decide to drop the charges.
I bet the judge is like that. Oh, not you again. Get, go on. out. Not her again. Get it. Hey, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks for your time. Take care of yourself and please keep in touch. And we'll hopefully catch up with you and chat again soon.
Rob, you have just, it's 7 a.m. here and you just brightened my day with your beautiful energy. So thank you so much for having me on your show.
See you, Alexandra. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Bye.